and welcome to the Friday Five here on the Agent Survival Guide podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Ruppel, and this is our weekly list of five things you should know about. It is Friday, May 17th, and it has been a busy time around the office here at Ritter Insurance Marketing. We are gearing up for a company-wide training event next week, and so we begin our list with a little housekeeping at number five. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week, our company will be participating in Camp Ritter, our company-wide training and team-building event. Couple of things that we would like our agents to know going into next week. All of Ritter Insurance Marketing will be closed on Wednesday, May 22nd. On Tuesday, the 21st, and Thursday, the 23rd, our operations team will be working normal hours. But for those of you reaching out to our sales team or our marketing team, response times might be a little bit delayed compared to normal. We are doing our best to work ahead on Monday and then get caught up as soon as we can after the event. I am very much looking forward to Camp Ritter, all of the events we've got planned, as well as being able to catch up with our satellite office team members. For our next little bit of housekeeping, the results of last week's Question of the Week poll. We asked you to choose between Dunkin' and Starbucks, and it looks like the mermaid from Seattle is our winner. Keep listening for this week's poll at the end of the episode, but for now, let's get back into our list with number four. Talkspace has officially made their move into the Medicare market, starting out in 11 states: California, Florida, Idaho, Maryland, Missouri, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, South Carolina, and Virginia. The online behavioral health company plans to expand that coverage to all 50 states by the end of the year, including, quote, all 33 million traditional Medicare members coupled with several Medicare Advantage plans, end quote. According to Talkspace CEO Dr. John Cohen, quote, the mental health crisis is generation neutral, but loneliness and social isolation, which impacts older adults more significantly, greatly impact their overall well-being and, in turn, raise their overall total medical costs. Given the alarmingly limited number of behavioral health providers that accept Medicare, Talkspace now opens up access to affordable, high-quality care for millions of Medicare members within days from the comfort of their own homes, end quote. Talkspace was an early pioneer in online therapy back in 2012. They offer various forms of therapy to treat several different mental health issues. Interactions typically happen through video calls, phone calls, or text, and currently more than 140 million Americans have access to Talkspace through either health insurance, employee assistance programs, or other benefit programs. Number three, on Monday this week, the IRS announced health savings account and high deductible health plan limits for 2025. The annual limit on HSA contributions for self-only coverage in 2025 will be capped at $4,300, a $150 increase from the 2024 contribution limit. Individuals with family coverage and a high deductible health plan will be able to contribute up to $8,550 to their HSA in 2025. That is up $250 compared to 2024. Moving on to minimum deductibles in those high deductible health plans. For single-only coverage, the minimum deductible in 2025 will be $1,650, up $50 from 2024. The family coverage minimum deductible is $3,300, a $100 increase compared to 2024 deductible amounts. The IRS also announced the annual maximum out-of-pocket limits on high-deductible health plans. For self-only coverage, the MOOP is capped at $8,300 in 2025, up $250 compared to 2024. The family coverage MOOP will be $16,600 in 2025, a $500 increase from 2024. One amount that has stayed the same, the limit on catch-up contributions. In 2025, employees age 55 and older will be able to contribute up to an extra $1,000 in their health savings accounts. We will be linking to a few articles with these numbers outlined so you can include them in your newsletters. Just the first of many upcoming announcements regarding plan year 2025 financial info. Number two, Rupel recommends. On Wednesday this week, Apple announced a range of accessibility features that are coming to iPads and iPhones. First on the list, and sounding like a feature from a sci-fi novel, eye tracking, which will help users navigate iPhone and iPad with their eyes. The feature is powered by AI and will utilize the camera on the front of the screen combined with on-device machine learning. Eye tracking will allow users to navigate an app and perform select functions using just their eyes. Music haptics are coming to the Apple Music catalog on iPhone for deaf or hard of hearing users to experience music in a new way. According to the release, quote, the Taptic engine in iPhone plays taps, textures, and refined vibrations to the audio of music, end quote. The tech in music haptics will also be made available as an API for developers so they can implement similar features in their own apps. Apple is also expanding Siri's capabilities with vocal shortcuts and atypical speech. Vocal shortcuts is what it sounds like. Users can assign a word, statement, or even a sound to launch a shortcut. So a lot of potential for customization there. Atypical speech is another device AI feature that can learn to recognize the speech patterns of users. For those with conditions that affect their speech, like cerebral palsy, ALS, or stroke, this adds new capabilities of customizing and controlling their experience, possibly being able to use voice control features that they previously might have been unable to. Next on the list, vehicle motion cues to help reduce the feeling of motion sickness for those viewing an iPhone or iPad in a moving vehicle. Animated dots will appear on the device screen and will move in tandem with the motion of the vehicle. So with a left turn, the dots move to the right of the screen. The dots will move to the left side of the screen when the vehicle makes a right turn. They'll move toward the bottom of the screen while a vehicle accelerates, and then those dots will rise to the top of the screen when the vehicle brakes. And if you've got a mix of family members who do and don't experience motion sickness, the feature can be set to come on automatically, or you can turn it on and off in the control center. While we're on the subject of vehicles, updates to Apple CarPlay include voice control to navigate and control the apps in the CarPlay dashboard with your voice. Right now, many of those functions are able to be controlled by Siri, so it'll be interesting to see how that changes. Sound recognition is billed as another feature for deaf or hard of hearing users that I could honestly see a lot of users opting into. When the sound of a siren or car horn registers, a pop-up will appear on the CarPlay display. And then for users who are colorblind, Apple CarPlay is adding color filters as well as text style options to optimize the display viewing experience. So far, Apple has not provided a timeline for when these features will roll out, but with WWDC right around the corner, and the release of iOS and iPadOS 18 slated for this fall, I think that is a good contender for when we could see these features release. Apple's WWDC is a conference specifically for Apple software developers, so hopefully we'll get more details on these accessibility features in the coming weeks. And then coming in at number one, this week, Google held their annual I/O Developer Conference, which is their equivalent to Apple's WWDC. The theme of this year's keynote, which has been the overarching theme behind most new tech these days, artificial intelligence. The Google-branded AI model is called Gemini, and a brand new model was announced this week, Gemini 1.5 Flash, which is, quote, the company's smallest model that runs locally on device, end quote. This model is Google's response to developers asking for an improved way to build apps and services that utilize AI more efficiently than past models. Gemini technology is built into many of the newly announced features, the first of which, Project Astra, which from what I have read and seen demoed, actually does what the RabbitR1 said it was going to do. In the demo, Astra was shown as an app that utilizes the on-device camera to identify what the user sees and then converse with the user, answering questions about the things viewed through the camera lens. Ask Photos is an upcoming Google Photos feature that I can honestly say I'm pretty excited about. Also powered by Gemini, the tool will be able to answer more complex search queries about photos, like the one in the demo, quote, show me the best photo from each national park I've visited, end quote. Despite being an Apple user, I have an enormous Google Photos library, as I'm sure many users do. And sifting through those photos isn't always easy depending on the photo you're looking for. This seems like a more accurate way of searching to pinpoint those exact memories, and I imagine this being very useful for those of us who like to add photo evidence to our more anecdotal stories. Those can sometimes be ruined by haphazard scrolling through photos to find a specific picture. Another new feature that looks absolutely incredible is something called Notebook LM, and the LM stands for Learning Model. I honestly did not know this was a thing until reading about the improvements Google recently made to it. This tool allows users to input notes about a certain topic, using Notebook LM to essentially create a study plan on that topic. The demo produced a learning guide, practice quizzes, and frequently asked questions. In the future, I will definitely be using this when trying to help my daughter with her math homework, because if you have ever done that these days, they are learning completely different methods than what we learned when we were in school. And I also think it would be helpful for creating study guides on a topic when your child forgets to bring home their study guide. And if your child never does that, please send me an email detailing how you make sure that never happens. I need to know. In addition to the current Notebook LM capabilities, upcoming features were demoed, taking all of the content that was created in text format, outputting it as audio featuring a variety of speakers, and allowing the user to interrupt the discussion, ask questions, get answers, even answers explained with metaphors, and then get back to the discussion where it left off. Now, no word on when these new features will launch, but that is an exciting prospect with some very real-world application. The last change announced at Google I/O, and arguably the biggest and most controversial change, the addition of AI to Google Search. And initially, I do have to admit, that sounds horrifying, because we all know that right now, AI still tends to hallucinate or completely make up answers. Combine that with the largest method of searching for information online, and yes, that is concerning. It leaves the potential for inaccuracies in Google search engine result pages. Google is, of course, also aware of those dangers, and they have a few ways to combat inaccuracies from hallucination. The first is announcing that AI-generated summaries will populate the top of search engine result pages and will be labeled as AI overviews. That puts the onus on the user to fact-check the information. And then for the more detailed features demoed during the keynote announcement, Those will not be rolling out to the masses immediately. They'll be part of an experimental beta that users must opt into. Now, if you want to opt out of the aforementioned AI overviews, Google has thought of that as well. They'll be adding a brand new web filter to their search page to essentially filter out. And this is according to Sean Hollister's reporting for The Verge. Quote, almost all the other blocks of content that Google crams into a search results page, leaving you with links and text, end quote. He goes on to report that AI overviews will also be filtered out. So far, that functionality has not yet hit my computer, but that will add an interesting new functionality to my content searches. And I look forward to saying goodbye to all of those Google Shopping links that tend to gum up certain keyword searches. Google also announced a lot of other products and features during the conference, and we will be linking to more information on all of that in our episode notes. Now, with all of these recent tech announcements focusing so heavily on AI, naturally, this week's poll is focused on the topic of artificial intelligence. We would like to know more about your comfort level with AI. We're asking you to gauge it on a scale over at bit.ly/ASG question. That's bit.ly/ASG question. Simply plot your comfort level on the scale we've got over there, and we'll report back on the answers. Now, with Camp Ritter making next week a little bit chaotic, we are actually planning to let this poll up for longer than normal. You will have 2 weeks to answer that question. We will be back with the answer in our May 31st Friday 5 episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode, and special thanks to all of you who have been voting in our polls each week. We really appreciate you. And that is a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you have a great weekend. Stay healthy and stay safe out there. To all of our satellite members traveling in for Camp Ritter, we wish you safe travels, and we will see you next week. The Agent Survival Guide podcast is a production of Ritter Insurance Marketing, an integrity company. This episode was written and produced by me, Sarah Ruppel. Script editing and fact check by Tina Lamoureux. Podcast designed by Urban Rivera. Artwork by Vivian Zhao. Follow along with us wherever you like to listen.